Turn to Philippians today. We're going to dive back into the book of Philippians. We started last week a series on pursuing excellence. And the book of Philippians, one of the key verses in this book, calls us to pursue the excellence of God, the excellence of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest problems today when I encounter people and invite them to the church or invite them to come and to know about Jesus and to be a part of a church family, one of the greatest obstacles is that they have encountered Christians who are not living in the excellence of Jesus. And I'm not saying that we reach perfection this side of glory. We will never reach perfection. God's word says to know to do good and to do it not, it's sin. And I doubt if any of us pray as much as we should or study God's word as much as we should or witness as much as we should. So even though we may not be committing sins, we're still neglecting things that we should do, and God says it's sin. None of us reach perfection, but we can reach a point in our lives where when people see us, they see the excellence of Jesus Christ. And when people encounter the excellence of Jesus Christ in your life, they desire to know Him. Amen? So we want to be that kind of church. We want to be a church that experiences the excellence of Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, where that when we encounter people, they will encounter Jesus' excellence. I want us to look at Philippians chapter 1 again, but we stopped in verse 11. We started in verse 1 and went through verse 11. I want to quickly, if you will join me, go start at verse 12, and I just want to read through verse 30. We're not going to go deep into all this passage, but this is a great passage of Scripture, and I just want to read through it. Verse 12, read along with me. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's writing this from prison. And it's hard for us to imagine how being in prison for Paul would be a furtherance of the gospel, but he says it was. So that, verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. The excellence of Christ is being seen in Paul's life in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of isolation, in the midst of the stench of the Mamertine prison. He's down three levels. The only thing that's under him is the sewage of Rome. And yet he says, the excellence of Christ in my life is being seen, and the guards know that it's real. That's the life I want to live. How about you? Amen? That no matter what situation I'm in, everyone sees the excellence of Jesus in my life. Look at verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul, in his situation, continuing to minister, continuing to live in the excellence of Jesus, is encouraging the brothers who aren't in prison to be bold and for them to live in excellence. So they're not living in fear. They see that if it's God's plan that Paul ends up in prison or they end up in prison, they're still going to live in the excellence of Jesus Christ. God's going to use it for His glory, and they're just surrendered to the will of God. I love that. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. So he's saying not everybody's preaching with the right motivation. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Sadly, today we have pastors in pulpits that it's just a career. We have pastors that preach for selfish ambition, and their desire is to build their own little kingdom and to be a king. That's not the heart of God, and that's not the heart of Paul. That shouldn't be our heart either, amen? But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul's saying, I'm going through all this. I'm living in the excellence of Jesus because of the love of God and the love that God has given me for all men. Look at verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. I love the fact that all through this epistle, Paul is rejoicing even though he's in chains, even though it stinks, even though he's in a dark dungeon of a prison, chained between two guards. He says, I rejoice. Church, you can live in that joy. That joy is part of the excellence of Jesus in your life. That no matter what suffering or heartache, today there are so many people around the world that are suffering for Jesus. I've encountered some of those in my trips to Pakistan, people that were suffering for Jesus. But church, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Look at verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through the prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want you to remember that. When you lose a loved one, to die is gain. That's what the Word of God says. It hurts us. We miss them. We have times where we may continue to break down years later just because of our love for someone or missing them. But church, I would never call them back, because God's Word says to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He says a moment ago, to die is gain. Now he says it's far better to go to be with Jesus. What a comfort that is, church. Amen? Every year I live, the older I get, my body gives out in other ways. It's falling apart. But I'm looking for that day when I'll have a glorified body that will never fall apart. Amen. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now I want you to notice that again. Look at verse 27 again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's calling us there to excellence. The way we live, it should show excellence to Jesus Christ. Verse 28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Church, we don't like that. But it's a part of life in this fallen world. Verse 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Paul was struggling. There was a conflict. He wanted to go to be with Jesus. He had endured prison and trials and tribulations, but yet he still wanted to remain so he could show the excellence of Jesus Christ through his life and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That should be our heart. We know that one day, whenever it happens, God's going to take us up to be in glory with him. But and to be absent from the bodies, to be present with Jesus, we know that. We know heaven is gorgeous, it's beautiful, it's beyond our understanding and comprehension here on earth, how wonderful it's going to be. But church, there still should be a part of us that says, Lord, I want to remain as long as you want me here, like Paul. I want to be fruitful. I want to live in excellence. I want one more soul for Jesus. I want one more person to come to Jesus. Every day that you give me, Lord, let that excellence be seen in my life so that once again, somebody will say yes to you. Amen. I want us to think about several things in this call to excellence. He's asking us to excellence, to live a life of excellence. And if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, you haven't started yet. It starts when we come and we say, Lord, here's my life. It doesn't start when you say, well, Jesus has called me to be excellent, so I need to get this out of my life. I need to shape up here. I need to do a little better here. I need to change a lot of things in my life. Guess what? You can't do it. He doesn't call us to shape up and get our act together and become excellent and then come to him, because we can't do it. He calls us simply to come as we are. Come with our hurt and our pain and our sin, our junk, our failures, but just come to him and come with a heart that's open and say, Jesus, I love you, I embrace you. Come into my life and transform me. Because he's the only one that can produce excellence in your life. Amen. He's the only one. Now, verses 12 through 30 I just read involve three main things, and I want us to think about them. First of all, Paul was in prison. Verses 7, 13, 14, and 16, he speaks of being in chains. He was in the Mamertine prison. And in this day, Christianity was considered a cult. But it was having an impact on the Roman Empire. Hundreds of thousands of people were coming to Jesus. And Rome begins to persecute the Christians. It was in the time of Nero, Caesar Nero. And they were coming against the Christians. And Paul here, he recognizes the persecution that's coming against the church. And in the midst of that, he is bold and he's strong. And so he's in prison. The actual religion of Rome at that time was atheistic, but it was also humanistic. Those two things. They didn't believe in the existence of God, but they believed man was God. And Caesar was considered a god, but he wasn't so much worshipped as he was revered, and he was more of a symbol of God, of a God being man, that man was God. And that's the way that the Roman Empire was structured, and they wanted to keep it that way. They wanted to keep the power. So when the Christians started telling people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes unto the Father except by him, that He will set you free. He will transform your life. That if you want to be excellent, you can have an excellent life, but it only comes through Jesus. Hundreds of thousands of people were believing the truth and their lives were being transformed. So Paul is in this prison. This is, Philippians is one of the prison epistles. There's three of them. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And the Philippians were receiving this letter from Paul. And we talked about the two center verses last week, verse 10, where he's calling the church to excellence. And he's calling them to discernment. And it has to do with seeing and perceiving correctly and sorting things out. And if ever there was a time, church, that the church needs that excellence and discernment of Jesus, it's right now. In Matthew chapter 24, I've said it many times, you can go through there when it talks about the last days and it talks about people being deceived. It talks about the possibility of even the elect being deceived in the last days. Church, that's why we need to pursue excellence. Why we need that discernment so that we see what is excellent and what is not excellent. Because today, all over the world, there are churches that are accepting things that are contrary to the Word of God. They're accepting things that are less than the excellence of God and saying they're okay to be part of the church. And they're not. They're not. We need the excellence of God. Many people fall for less than what's excellent. Church, I want to be someone that has divine discernment from Jesus, that He will lead me in to what's excellent for my life and for our church, for my family. Because that's the greatest life you can live. Did you hear me? That's the greatest life you can live. Secondly, a key verse is found in chapter 3, verse 13 of Philippians. 13 and 14 is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but listen. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's calling us to excellence again. Amen. I love this. He says, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't apprehended yet. I am still striving for more and more and more of Jesus. Church, don't ever be satisfied with where you are in your walk. Whether you are a pastor or a teacher or a layperson, whether you are a presbyter or whether you're the superintendent, you always want more and more and more of Jesus. You press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this excellence that it's calling us to is a refinement where we allow God to refine us and bring it to completion. Verse 6, we talked about it last week. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I love that verse. Because when I'm in service around somebody for just a few moments and I see God working in their hearts and lives, or I lead someone to Jesus and then they're gone and I never see them again, I stand on this promise that God hasn't left them. He's still working on them, and God's going to bring them to completion. He's going to bring them to excellence. But church, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to allow God to bring that excellence in our lives. God wants us to have that eye for excellence. Excellence talks about And it's actually talking about being a winner. I want you to think about that. How many like to win? Does anybody like to lose? When we compete, we want to win. The excellence of Jesus makes you a winner. It is the ultimate life that you can live. Everything else is second best. Jesus brings us into that winner's circle. Why? Some people think, you know, many times I've said from the pulpit, I've read the end of the book and we win. And I had somebody that was offended by that and actually left the church. And they accused me of saying or preaching that we win in ourselves. And because I didn't say that we win because of Jesus. And I thought, you got real issues. I did. That's what I thought. I thought, I feel sorry for you. You sit in this church all this time, and you don't think that I preach that we win only because of Jesus. It's only because of Him. Amen? But He says that we win. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory. We win. And we come into that excellence, into that winner's circle, only because of Jesus and what He did for us. Amen. I want to end with three traits of a winner. The first three things about a winner. First of all, the trait of a winner. Paul starts this book, and the fourth word into this book is what? He says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants. The trait of a winner is that you will always live a life of serving. That you will always live a life where you're serving Jesus. A bondservant here, in the Greek, the word was used for a slave. It meant that the slave didn't have a will of their own, but the slave was surrendered totally to the will of the master. That is the most excellent life that you can live, where you lay your life down to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are my master. It's your will I want, not mine. He is the one that created you. He is the one that died on the cross for you. He is the one that shed His blood for you. He bought you with a price. He created you. Everything about you He knows. And church, the ultimate life and the life of excellence only comes when you have a heart that's totally surrendered to the will of God. And that'll preach. That's truth. Amen. Paul understood what Jesus had done for him. And he said, here's my life, Lord. Years ago, Melinda and I were in business, and I'd always loved the Lord, always went to church, grew up in church, loved the Lord, was involved in church. But I was going to be a businessman. I was going to be in business and I was going to support the church. And then one day God called me into the ministry. And I was overwhelmed by His presence at my grandfather's funeral. And I had tears in my eyes. And it wasn't because I loved my grandfather and missed him, but he was 92 and he went to be with Jesus and I knew where he was at. I wasn't sad about that, but I was overwhelmed because the presence of the Holy Spirit in that funeral called me into ministry. The Lord spoke to me and said, out of all your grandfather's grandsons, none of them had followed him into the ministry. Out of all of his sons, none of them followed him into the ministry. And He said, that's changing today. He said, I'm calling you. I said, but God, I'm a businessman. But I said, yes, Lord. And what was really funny about that, when I dated Melinda in Bible school, the first thing she asked me, before I date you, you have to promise me you're not going to be a preacher. And I said, oh yeah, I'm going to be a businessman. I'm a business major, you know. I had minor in Bible, but it was Bible school. I loved it, but God got a good one over on her, didn't he? But I surrendered my life. I laid my life on the altar. And I said, God, not my will, but your will be done. If I never have another business deal in my life, that's fine, Lord. If whatever you want me to go, I'll go. And God called us to Alaska. And God called us to an island, and we were isolated, but we loved it because we told God we'd go wherever he wanted us to go and do whatever he wanted us to do. And I've never regretted that, church. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade places with Elon Musk. I wouldn't. Because a life surrendered to the will of Jesus is an excellent life, and it's the greatest life you can ever live. Amen. This life also is a life where you're surrendered to servanthood. Listen to Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Whoever desires to become great among you, this is Jesus speaking, let him be your servant. A life of excellence is a life of service. In Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus is teaching. Listen to what he says. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. A life of excellence is a life of serving others. Last week I talked about Paul and his heart as a pastor, and we looked at verse 3 where he says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. So the people were on his mind. In verse 7, he says, I have you in my heart. So they were in his heart. Verse 8, he says, how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. He's telling them, you're on my mind, you're in my heart, and I love you. But church, that is not only the heart of a good pastor, that's heart of everyone who's open to the excellence of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the heart of a servant. That's how every one of us, people should be on our minds, on our hearts, and they should know we love them. That's what the church is meant to be. In verse 6, Paul's saying there, I have this confidence that God is mighty and he's going to bring about what he began in you to completion. That's the trait of a winner. Amen. God's going to complete it. It's letting him complete. The second thing, the track of the winner, or the track of the winner is a road to excellence. In the Old Testament, Malachi, I've only got one more point, so hang with me. But this is powerful in Malachi, and then we've got one more. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Well, it's saying God is a refiner of us, that we're like that molten metal like precious silver and gold. And when a refiner refines it, he knows just how much heat that it needs to bring the dross to the surface. Aren't you thankful that Jesus will never scorch you? The refiner knew just how much heat that they could endure. And the dross comes to the top, and he skims the dross off, and he knew that the metal was ready, that it was purified, when he looked into the molten metal and saw his reflection. Amen? I want to be that molten metal. Lord, turn up the fire. Bring the dross to the surface, Lord, and skim it off of my life so that I can live the excellence of Jesus Christ. Diaphero is the Greek word that we translate excellence. And it was used in that day in various ways. And one of the ways it was used was in a government memorandum where they asked for people that stood out honestly and were steadfast. So the word was used that you stand out. That when people see you, they see the excellence of Jesus, and they don't say that, oh, you're just another person. And that's the problem with the church today. Because so many people see us, oh yeah, they go to church on Sunday. Monday night, they're hanging with me in the bar. Tuesday night, they're over at our house watching porn. Wednesday night, they're out doing drugs. Church, that is not the excellence that Jesus has called us to. And most churches won't address stuff like that. They won't tell you that. But I tell you that because Jesus loves you. He wants to set you free. He wants you to live in power and His glory and His excellence. So if there's anything in your life, give it to Him. Let that welcome that refiner's fire. Be conspicuous where people recognize there's something different about you. The third thing is the test of a winner. Test comes from the struggles of life. Notice that Paul said, I'm not sure how this is going to work out. In verse 20 and 21, he says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul responds that when his life is on the line there, he chooses Jesus. He chooses the excellence. In church, we don't know what persecution is, but it's coming. I don't know, people ask me all the time, Pastor, when do you think the rapture is going to take place? And I tell them, I'm ready right now. I'm doing my rapture drill. Let's go. But I'm going to watch like Jesus said, and I'm going to be ready. But if we suffer persecution, we know that persecution is coming. And it's going to come to the United States of America. But church, at the same time, the Bible talks about these things. And shortly, I'm going to begin another series in a few weeks or months, whenever the Lord lets me. But I'm going to be looking at a lot of end time things. But church, you don't have to worry about the end time things, just like Paul. I may live, I may die, but to die is better because I go to be with Jesus. It didn't matter to him. Whatever God's will was, that's what he wanted. But church, we're probably going to have great persecution in this nation someday. And if the church isn't raptured before that, we're going to have to encounter that. And we encounter it. Church, I love Acts chapter 2 because it says, in those last days, God's going to pour out His Spirit on your sons and your daughters. Amen? They're going to prophesy. So church, we don't enter into the last, we know these things are coming, but we're not entering in fear, just like Paul had no fear. He had boldness. We have the excellence of Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit is working in us and producing that excellence. And the church is going to be living and walking in the power of God's Spirit. And I want to end with just a couple more verses. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation, or I just read that one, verse 28. And not in any way was terrified by your adversaries. Verse 29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Church, we suffer in this life. We go through difficulties. Paul did. Jesus did. Right? But don't worry about it. Don't be consumed by it. Don't live in fear. Live like Paul in the boldness of the Spirit, in the excellence of Jesus Christ, saying, I want one more soul for Jesus. Let me, Lord, touch somebody else. Let me pray for one more person. Let me encourage one more person. Lord, whatever, Lord, have your way in me and bring me to that excellence. Amen. Worship team, would you come? As I've been studying this passage this week, that's just over and over again come up in my heart. Lord, I want people to see the excellence of Jesus in my life. I want them to experience the excellence of Jesus. So Lord, I just surrender to you afresh. I lay my life down to you. My will, Lord, I want your will in everything. I don't want to have any deception, Lord. I want to see and be able to know this is the excellence of God and this isn't, and I choose the excellence of God. Amen. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask the prayer team, if they would, to make their way around the back of the auditorium and across the front, if they would. And as the worship team begins to lead us, I want you to just forget about everybody around you, and I want you to think about Jesus. Are you pursuing the excellence of Jesus Christ? Are you laying your will down and saying, Jesus, I want your will? Are you saying, Lord, help me to perceive and to understand what is excellence? What's not? And if you have a need today, as they begin to lead us in worship, I want you to step out from where you are, and you can find someone in the front or in the back of the auditorium, and they're a prayer team and they want to pray for you. Want to come in agreement with you and pray for whatever need that you have today. So if that's you, step out and come. We want to pray with you today before you go. We're not going to take a long time, just a few minutes, but we want to pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.